You're listening to episode 89 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Post-Republican Islamic Surveillance Mechanism. Yeah. Another cool thing that I saw, which gets back to this whole wearable computing trend, you know, the immediate future.
Yes.
Is this new app that is called Whistle. I think that's the name of the app. No, the startup is named Whistle. Yeah. He didn't run over. Okay, cool. It is an app and it's essentially Fitbit for your dog. There you go.
Oh, what? That's awesome.
So you can you put this, you attach it to the dog's collar,
and it's called a Whistle. That's all. I get it.
There you go. It's all coming together. So you put it on your dog's collar, and it tracks your dog's activities throughout the day, and they're like, your dog doesn't care, They're like, the dog doesn't care about the number of steps, but it's for you to make sure that your dog is being healthy throughout the day, and you can kind of track their patterns on. Oh, look at this! At like 10 a.m., that's when they were chewing up my shoe because they were active, versus they were sleeping a lot, I'm like, okay, kind of cool. Hey, if they've got GPS in there and now I can find my dog if he gets lost, okay, I'm now super, super interested. I don't think it does. It has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. But, again, if it had like a GPS tracker, I'd be like, awesome. Because this thing is $99 right now.
And, find my iDog.
Yeah, find my iDog. Where are you, pups? And then the other thing is that that I liked about it is they said they will be able to track your dog's activities throughout its life, similar to the Fitbit. And they said what's interesting about dogs is that they are very good about hiding any sort of problem they might have. They may not be feeling great, but if you're like, let's go for a walk, all right, yeah, going for a walk, and there may be subtle changes in their behaviors that you as the owner don't notice just because, you know, you live with them all the time, and it's your dog. You know what I mean. You're not evaluating your dog's health. You're just hanging out, playing with it. So they were saying, by quantifying your dog's activities, they will be able to detect patterns and be able to tell when there's a problem, and at least be able to alert you. Hey, Fido's acting a little weird. He didn't move at all today. Normally, he at least will chew up the newspaper for 15 minutes every day, and he didn't do that today. I'm sure it doesn't say that. But other than just give you an alert. Something's weird. Should have him checked out. He's being less active.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to that idea of, one of the earliest indicators for dementia in patients oftentimes is their response time when picking up a phone. They pick up the phone call and say, hi, this is Matthew. I'm talking to. And what they say is that response time lengthens over time, and actually it's not until like you're 3 years in that individuals really start to pick up on the symptom of, wow, they're really lingering there. Whereas if you have a computer like constantly measuring that, they can pick it up to 2 years earlier, which really, especially for Alzheimer's and just general dementia, you can start preventative treatments that will push the disease off by 15 years if you start that early. But only a computer will recognize it, and I gotta imagine that with dogs, it's all the more important, because just like with a lot of mental health problems, you don't recognize that there's something wrong until because the very tool that's designed to evaluate that there's something wrong can't express it to the rest of the world, whether it's your brain or your dog's brain. And whereas this is a way to very systematically and data intensively track that. That's cool. I actually like that a lot. And you can probably catch problems way early. And if you're, that's cool.
Yeah, and the pet industry is one where owners have proven over and over again that they are willing to spend generously on their fur babies, I looked at it and it was $100, and that was just enough out of my price range where I was like, I don't know, but man, if it were 50, I probably would be the proud owner of one. I'd be like, yeah, about one. But all I'd say, if it had the GPS, I'm not super concerned about my dog getting lost, but it's kind of like, I'd like to know. You know what I mean? Or, yeah, I'd like to know where he's at, because I'm like, if it included that, even if I had to charge it like once a week because of the power consumption, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm in. I probably would have ponied up the $100 and done it, just because I that would be cool to be like, how active is this guy? Because I've done the leave the computer camera on for a day to see what he does. I only did that if you remember when he was a little guy, and we'd leave him in one room and we'd come home and he'd be in a totally different room with the gate still up. He'd be like, how does that work? And you go, which, did you see that? That one was, what was that? Was that on Facebook? Oh, I don't remember. I think it was. But it was that it had gone like semi-viral, where this owner, their neighbors kept giving them noise complaints about their dog barking while they were away. Did you see this one? And so they decided to record what was going on while they were away. And come to find out that it was the dog hopping up onto the piano, banging on the keys and barking along with the music that it was making. And they're just like, oh my gosh, no way.
But, so all of our Reddit hipsters are gonna scoff at me if I don't mention this, but it was like on Reddit, and that's where, and it was somebody who had reposted that video from like 2 years ago or a long time ago with that story, that accompanying story, that the dog was doing this, you know, like barking, and it just was like this perfectly timed camera and like angle, as though we knew exactly what was going on. But yeah, it's a cute video, but it's not exactly the dog.
Well, that's fine.
But I get the.
I'm not as cool. I'm not cool enough to be on Reddit. Though I will admit, I did sign up, and I have a couple pages that I technically follow, but never actually follow up on. They're not called pages. They're called
subreddits.
There we go. See, I'm not even that cool. I use the wrong terminology.
Okay. It's better that way.
It's better that way. I think I'll be cool enough to get on it and, you know, actually genuinely use it. I'm just not quite there yet.
It's funny. I do find that I'm diversifying my information, my goof off time again. I go through ebbs and flows over, you know, months and months long period where I'll go from like one source of flow of information where I get, you know, one website that I get everything through, and then I'll start to diversify and I'll start, you know, clicking around for other websites and find other sources, and then I'll usually kind of reconverge down to the just how my schedule works. And I'm in a expanding beyond Reddit phase again.
Speaking of expanding and finding diversity, as you know, the deadline for the end of the internet is slowly but surely marching forward in time, and
people keep yelling at me.
I know. It's like every time you log in, hey, just so you know, we are actually going to shut this down. It wasn't a bluff. Like, okay.
Yeah, which right. I have a feeling they're getting. I wonder.
I wish that they had time. Could you imagine had that been like an April Fool's prank that they set up like 2 months in advance? But they say it were like. What is it? It's if they're like, it's going to close the end of March, and you know, and you say it in just such a way where you're like, you know, hopefully you don't realize that April 1st is the very next date, and you know, how you're just like, oh, fools, we're back, we're not going anywhere, ha, we know, we love you guys, we love the internet. Anyways, it's not going to happen, but whatever.
Unfortunately.
So two stories about that. The first one is it would appear to me that the current lead is Feedly for the replacement thing, and so they've been working on a lot of stuff. I feel like they got an early bounce, they got the lead a little bit, and they're just like, okay guys, we need to run as fast and as hard as we can, because if we do that for the next, you know, however long it was, 60 days or something, they're like, we can win. I don't know what we're going to win, but we could win. And so they've been working on it. And so they came out with seven things that they worked on. First one is they're making it faster, making it easier to search, lame stuff. But then what they also said is that they are getting integration with Reader, GReader, Press, NextGen, and Newsify through their API, which is cool.
Interesting.
Because I use Reader on the Mac, and I love it. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to lose that one. And Reader was like, oh, we'll have a standalone option, which I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool, but not as cool. And then and then I use Flipboard on my phone, which is really nice because it has the feed, plus I get my Instagram feed and Twitter and stuff, and I really like to have it all in one place, which is why Flipboard's doing well. They haven't announced anything with Flipboard yet, but I'm really, 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 really hoping that Flipboard decides to add access to their API as well, because then it'll be like nothing happened, where I'll use Reader on my Mac, use Flipboard on my phone, and then when I'm on my work PC, I can just go to Feedly's website, which currently right now requires a plugin for Chrome, but they said they're working on a plugin lists option. So I think that's probably the one that I'm going to jump to. I technically have already jumped to it because, you know, I signed up and it synced everything automatically for me.
Nice.
You know, so yeah, that was the other nice part. They're like, exporting is ridiculously easy.
I should probably do that sooner than later because I have a feeling I'm gonna.
There's two things that you should probably do. A, at least sign up for this because, like I said, it syncs it all with you, so it's all there. And then B, just export all your feeds and put them into an Excel spreadsheet or something.
I know it's a pain.
I know we don't have a choice. They're closing it down.
It's a super pain. I'm just so upset about the whole thing. It's ridiculous.
The other article related to this is a Wired article that said why Google Reader really got the axe.
I am curious to hear what the real reason is because
we had
our theories.
Yeah. So here's according to Wired what they think is going on is. The team is now working on Google Plus related stuff, and so they are obviously not working on Reader, and they don't just want to let it sit there, but it's because they've had a change in how do you want to say it, like it's a couple things. Okay, so two reasons. The first one, which is kind of like their official thing, is they said that it used to be that you would go throughout your day and you would like be eating breakfast and you'd read your news and then you might have some leisure news reading time in the evening, which RSS was perfect for that. You didn't have to visit the websites. You could just catch up on the news. They said the world has progressed to such where, for the most part, a lot of people are consuming news all day, all the time. And so this idea of storing your news articles, like, it's a joke. We don't store them. We're pretty much reading them as fast as they come in, which I was like, clearly you do not know how many feeds I have.
Right.
Yeah, that's there's that.
But, I mean, that does echo even what I was saying, you know, at the beginning of I guess this is pre-show. But my comment of, you know, we both had busy weeks, and so I was kind of freaking out earlier today. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do like the entire show prep for the entire week. And like before I started reading new articles, I realized I had six already. I was like, where did these even come from? Like,
yeah.
I had no time. I had like no time this week. How did I find six articles that I wanted to talk about? What the heck?
Yeah.
And it's because of that.
So there's that.
I was consuming the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the perks of being in the living room is you get to watch people walk in and out. There's that entertainment in the background, much like that one Community episode where Abed was helping give birth to a baby in the background of an entire episode, which was
hilarious.
Funny, which I didn't catch until the very end and went, wait a second, had to go back and rewatch the entire thing, which is exactly what they wanted. Kudos to them. anyways, yeah, so that's totally one of the points about that is, you know, we do just kind of consume news throughout the day. The other thing, and the reason why they moved the Google Reader team over to Google Plus, is that their goal is to de-emphasize news sources and just emphasize news. And so during those leisure times, they want you to just hang out on Google Plus, which they're starting to more define not as a social network, but as a social news source. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a slight little tweak there. And one of the examples of that was, remember how they said on certain posts they'll have those tags, and you can click on the tag, and then it'll give you more stories related to whatever that tag was.
Yeah.
Remember what I'm talking about there?
Yes.
On Google Plus. And that's an example of them trying to be a... Oh, my gosh. Looks like it hurt, bud. Wow, he makes a lot of noise when he comes to that doggy door. That's the idea of a social news aggregator. So you don't care as much about the source and who you're reading your news from, which, an RSS reader is very... The source is very front and center. You know exactly who you're getting it from, and you're only getting those stories. These are more trying to focus on what you're interested in, regardless of where the source was, regardless of the timing. And more importantly, you are on Google Plus the entire time. Not... Which, you're like, I was on Google Reader the entire time, too. But... You know, you're not necessarily jumping to another tab and then reading that article and jumping back. It really is. So their whole thing is, if you're looking for, a little more, then you can talk. If you're looking for just like a casual reading time, Google Plus is perfect. Just flip through the stuff, dive as deep as you want, do whatever. If you are the news junkie, I want to catch everything. Like, there are already sources out there, a la Twitter, that Twitter's a big one. Tumblr could be a good one, depending on the sources you follow. And like, so for those people, they're not gonna focus on those people anymore.
I don't know. I get this feeling that that's what killed Dig. And I think one of the big problems that Dig ran into was obviously that they were having a tremendous amount of success as a direct competitor to Reddit, in style and how they did it. And really the difference between the two sites wasn't function at all. It was community, which communities were where, and a lot of people liked the community on Dig. I mean, there were some minor differences in function, but they're very small. And so they made this big this big change in function, where they really went to, move towards kind of being these very, were that same idea, because with Dig and Reddit, it is very much a... The source isn't important. It's the information. It's what is democratically the most interesting is what's brought to the top of your news feed. Whereas with Reddit or with Dig,
real quick, let's register that domain.
I know, seriously.
We'll get sued by both companies.
I was gonna say, I'm willing to bet it already exists. It's already taken. Digit.com. It's already taken.
Dang.
It doesn't give me... Wow, it's a completely blank page. That's really funny.
What a waste.
Or maybe my computer's crashing. I don't know.
All right, here we go. Digit.com.
Yeah, it's a blank page, and it's got a... Wow. It's got a... frame set rows, 100%. Frame border, no. Border, zero. Frame spacing, zero. It's just a... blank page. Interesting.
Huh.
Nice job, guys. I don't know who owns it, but it's stupid.
You can offer to buy it from them.
Yeah. What are we going to put on it?
Stuff.
But
doesn't
exactly. Interesting things. So
top news stories of the day. Scrape from Dig and Reddit.
Oh man, that would be back before the Exodus. That would have been a pretty good website where all it did was take it had the top 20, and it was just the top 20 from Dig and Reddit links to each of the respective websites. but that'd be awesome. Dig it.
With an app.
Yeah, exactly. but my point was that the move to Dig the 4 was this idea of moving away from the community driven idea to, you know, the people that you follow, that you're friends with, those we're going to focus on getting your stories. So we're going to create a customized front page, essentially, which Reddit does with the whole subreddit system is you get rid of different, you know, streams and different categories. But it was, you know, with Dig, it was going to be a much more focused algorithm about you and the things that you like, and we're going to try to, you know, predict what you like based on what your friends are liking and what the rest of the community is liking. Like, you know, and it sounded like this great idea, but it was terrible. It didn't work. I didn't get any interesting articles. And it's
other than the ones Facebook you manually subscribe to, which I was like, these are already in my RSS feed anyways. So
exactly,
why do I care?
And it's the problem that Facebook runs into that I talk about every once in a while. It's like Facebook doesn't have a content problem. It has you have a friend problem. If you don't think Facebook has very interesting content, it's because you don't have interesting friends. And which, you know, it sounds awful, but it's like, you know, it's actually one of the reasons why I keep my Twitter feeds. You know, I have such small subscription, like people that I subscribe to, because to me that's like I'm looking for specific content from specific people, and I don't want just a massive like fire hydrant of information.
Let's see here. What do you follow 28 people? Yeah. You have 39 following you.
Yeah. See, I mean, don't, you know? I'm not. I actually use Twitter a lot more. You know what is so interesting? I actually use Twitter because if I use Twitter, it automatically posts it to Facebook. And so I actually don't do status updates on Facebook because I use Twitter all the time. And it's I actually think it's a more convenient way to post stuff. But
you do know that on your iPhone it has the Facebook button right next to the Twitter button, right? It's just...
Yes.
Tap. Okay.
The apps are right next to each other. I know, I realize that, but it's just like...
It's just so hard.
I know. Well, so part of it, it's funny. It's part of, you know, it's funny. There's the part of me is like, it's the creative constraint as well, as ridiculous as that is. Having the 140 character limit, forces me to actually...
Such a snob.
Be concise and... Well, no, it's just I don't want to be boring. I'm like... My statuses aren't interesting enough. At least they're short, you know?
Yeah, you're like, I got you. You know, you try to follow you follow interesting people, so you have an interesting stream, and so you try to reciprocate by being interesting yourself.
Yeah, and brevity is the heart of wit. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And as somebody who is rarely brief, you know, yeah. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work for... I see what Google Plus is doing here, or Google is doing with Google Plus, where it's kind of... They realize that that's what people use Facebook for. It's that kind of stream. The news stream was one of the things that really made it even more accessible and interesting and give people a lot of resonance time. And so they're trying to build a better news stream is what it is.
Well, and Twitter's fantastic at that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's this weird, like, I don't like the curation process that a lot of these companies use to generate the information, especially when, you know, like, and I guess what my thing
that's,
is
they're not designed
show,
for you. That's the,
I know.
You are outside of the standard user. You know, most people don't consume as much news as you do.
That's true. That's very true, and one of the things is, you know, I'm kind of a hipster. I want to get information that nobody else has. You know, totally outside the
right.
You know, I mean, like, this is going to sound, you know, ridiculous, but the NSA. I almost contemplated not talking about it this week, not even bringing it up, because I was like, everybody has already heard about it. Like,
boom, that was me.
And then
I was like, I'm cool.
I was going to say. And I was going to say, and then I thought about it, I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, not everybody who listens to the show has read every article and listened to hours of, you know, talk news about whatever. And it's, you know,
glad you did, because I didn't.
Yeah, so.